You're listening to Grassroots, www.innovationstudios.com. I'm Marcus, and you know what? I'm back. And why not? You know what I mean? I've been fairly busy doing lots and lots of stuff over the last few months since I last spoke to you. I did a little one-off towards the end of last year that I really enjoyed doing. And although I've been answering your messages when you sent them through to me and emailed me through the site, as I said, www.innovationstudios.com, I haven't actually done any podcasts. But I thought, well, you know what, even though I've been answering them, I'll still take the time, read them again, and put my answer on here on a live, in inverted commas, platform, so that those of you who are loading your cars on a Friday and Saturday like a jigsaw and driving off to the Flying Bottle to play your gig in the hope that you might not get there and there'll be chicken wire at the front of the stage, like the Blues Brothers. So anyway, I've been busy and I've been doing lots of different things to keep myself relevant. And when I say relevant, I mean relevant at grassroots level, which is basically, like I said, the pub musicians and the bedroom musicians out there who keep yourself busy writing your songs and stuff like that. So anyway, where have I been? I've just been here, there and everywhere. I had a lot of shows in the run-up before Christmas. I can't remember the last time that I saw you all, and I use the word saw with inverted commas. But December I was busy with lots of shows, and I was caught in a 10 and a half hour drive back from Watford, which was real fun in that snow in December. So that was part of it. But I was out every day in December, and steadily throughout this year I've been playing lots of shows and teaching lots of people. On a personal level, for the last few weeks I've been staying at my mum's. Hello, Mum, if you're listening, in Basildon, just while we've had our extension done. So I haven't been in the studio as often as I would like, but I thought, you know what? It's about time I did something for you good people out there who ask me continuously, not thousands of you, but hundreds of you, are you bringing it back? And they'll often ask me a question on via email and I'll reply. So let's get straight on with it. I've got a whole batch of questions, so I'm going to be here for a good few weeks, I hope. May not be every week, but it will certainly be on a regular basis. But it's something I'm looking to get back into because I enjoyed doing it and I enjoy passing on advice. So we'll see how we get on. So our first question today is from Andrew, and he said, "Hi, Marcus, have you ever known a great musician with a great ear who couldn't sing a note?" Without naming names, Andrew, yes, I have. It's one of those strange things, but being a great musician is kind of listening to somebody else's music or vocal and being able to criticise it, and then you can't sing yourself. But I think the answer to that is that when a huge, huge part of being a singer is being able to hear yourself. And I think a lot of the time, people can't hear themselves. I've talked about this before, how as a singer, sometimes it's nice to be able to step away from your own voice, you know, and to be able to hear it in the same way as everybody else. And that's part of the battle. The initial battle to learn to sing properly is being able to hear your voice in the third person, to be able to step away from it. And I think that is probably the reason, Andrew, why people I've known over the years who were brilliant musicians, great ear, could tell you all sorts of different things about different songs and production, great producers as well, and great engineers, really technically, you know, brilliant. But they didn't have that perfect pitch when they sang. And one of the reasons was probably that they couldn't hear themselves in the way they needed to. We have a wall of sound when we're on stage, and we have to learn how to find our voice in that wall of sound. And when you're able to do that, once you're able to do that, and it's something that everybody can learn how to do, even if they're not the greatest singer, once you're able to hear yourself as if it's somebody else, then sometimes that can make a big difference. So I think I have known people who had a great ear and would tell me if I was flat, you know, Marky, you're flat, you know, you're not singing well tonight. And yet they weren't the greatest singers themselves. And I think a lot of the time, sometimes it's just technique. Some people sing as themselves, and if they're from this part of the world, they sing things like thinking. and stuff like that. They're singing their accent, which is fine, but you still got to learn how to project it and stuff like that. So basically, they don't hear themselves the way that a singer would need to hear themselves in order to sing and project properly and confidently, knowing that their voice is being heard by everybody in the room. This is where monitors sometimes come in. It's important that if you're using a monitor on the stage, that you have to remember that although your voice is loud in that monitor, it's not as loud out the front. So you still got to project, so it's too loud in the monitor. And that's a technical thing, but it's true. A lot of people, once they can hear it so loud in the monitor, clam up. And we've talked about this before, I've talked about this before, that when you're a singer, important that you still project. If you have a microphone with loads of compression on it, loads of reverb on it, loads of volume on it, the temptation is to clam up, close up a bit and not sing with the same confidence because you're thinking the microphone's doing the work. But actually, you're better to move the microphone away 2 or 3 inches and project so that your voice is still cutting through the mix. Because when it's close and sung softly, it's a softer, breathier sound. It doesn't cut through. But I'm going on a tangent of something else here, Andrew. But yes, I have known people who had great ears and great musical ability, and yet they couldn't sing. But usually it's just because they struggle to hear their voice the way everybody else does. Need help setting up your own home studio? Why not book a consultation online? Here at Innovation Studios, we can help and advise on the best equipment for you, your ideas, your budget, and your space. Maybe even book a home visit. We can help you set up, install, and use your software, offering a recording workshop in your very own studio in your very own home, going through techniques and offering advice and guidance to get you up and running. Go to www.innovationstudios.com for further information. Sue from Canvey Island. Oh, I love Canvey Island. Which brings me to a little point that I must make, which I should have made at the start. I'll get back to Sue's question in a minute. Sue's from Canvey Island, and reminds me that sadly, recently, the grassroots music community, if you like, the people that I looked up to, lost one of its biggest music, grassroots music legends, Bob Mundy, who I was lucky enough to interview. I'm not going to go on about that and try and win friends with stuff like that. If you want to listen to Bob's interview and it's a cracker, you can find it on here. But he gave me his time and I was so glad I was able to meet him. And he sadly passed away recently and he has a funeral next week, which I'm hoping that I'm going to go to. But I didn't feel it was right. I didn't mention him because he is a true grassroots music legend. He was in The Management recently, but he's been part of Granny Grunt. And if you listen to my interview with the Pinkies, Andy and Neville, they talk about him as well. And John Bobin as well mentions him because he was in The Management with him. He's a true local grassroots music legend. He was in the Boomers with Dave Bronz. He's done so many things. And he's a sad loss to people of all musicians and all of all levels, but particularly at this level, the people that admired him and looked up to him. So God bless you, Bob. Sue's question is a very simple question. It is should I use a straight stand or a boom stand? What are the differences? LOL. I love that LOL thing. Always amazes me how many people think that still means lots of love. You still get a text message now and again, and people think it means lots of love. I'm sorry to hear about your dog dying. Lots of love. LOL. You go, yeah. I was so sorry to hear that your dog passed away. LOL. So it isn't lots of love, people. It's laugh out loud. But and I know that's how Sue meant it. But it just reminded me of something that it's one of those strange things that, particularly if you're old, if the kids these days would go, no, come on, Dad, it's LOL. Everybody knows it's LOL. Well, some people don't. They think it's loads of love. So your question was, yes, straight or boom stand? Well, the differences, Sue, are straight stand tends to be just for singers. People like Rod Stewart and people like that who are just singers tend to use a straight stand. And the boom stand is sort of goes up straight and then comes out at an angle. And that tends to be to give you the room to play music, play your guitar or something, or keyboards or anything like that underneath. So basically a straight stand is exactly what it says. It comes up. A boom stand comes up in a straight line, and then there's another attachment at the top that goes out at an angle. And that sometimes can point up and towards you to give you room to play your guitar. When I first started, I used a straight stand and tried to play guitar, and I found myself leaning over the top of it. Boom stands, I think, to be fair, even if I'm singing without a guitar, I do like to have a bit of room to sing and to move my hands and to interact with the audience. By if I'm telling a story, I move my hands. Even though I'm talking on the podcast, I'm still using my hands to make points and stuff like that. You're not going to see that. I'm not about to start releasing this on YouTube as a video of my podcast, so seven people can kind of like it. But I get a few hundred on the podcast, so that's good every week. That's the difference, Sue. That's all it is, a straight and a boom stand. Straight stand is what it is. Boom stand is a straight stand with an attachment that goes at an angle to give you room to play an instrument freely. Michael says, "Hello, Marcus. I took one of your cards when I saw you on Friday in London. I just wondered, you didn't take a break. I haven't seen anybody do that before. I just wondered, why didn't you take a break?" Okay, so where was I last week in London? You got to remember, Michael. I had to remember where I was. I was at the Rookwood Village, I think it was. Rookwood Village in Leytonstone. That was it. Rookwood Village in Leytonstone. And it was a pub restaurant, if you like. And yes, I remember you, Michael. You were sat with your missus about two tables back, and you came up and you were very complimentary about my show, and I appreciated that. The reason I didn't take a break is very simple, Michael. When people come out for a meal, and it's worth this is my advice, you can take it or you can leave it, doesn't matter. First of all, I didn't have anybody with me. So sometimes if I don't have anybody with me, i.e., you know, sometimes I'll take I'm going to use the word roadie, but it's really Cheryl, or sometimes I'll take Jennifer, my daughter, with me, or a mate with me, just as company and someone to help me with a gear. Then I feel just sitting around for half an hour, I'm sitting on my own. And although people are nice and I can talk to people, I just feel awkward. So that's one reason. The other reason is that when people come out for a meal, they tend to have the meal and then go. And what having a 20-minute or a half an hour break does is gives them an opportunity to go. And then when I go back on stage, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, maybe 30 people have gone. Whereas I always feel if I stay on, people will carry on. And it's been kind of proven over the years that I'll stay on and I'll just play through. And to be fair, even if I'd have had somebody with me in a pub restaurant situation, I probably would have just played through. A lot of musicians will go, "No, you've got to have a break, man." You know, but I don't need to have a break. You know, half an hour is another seven songs, maybe eight songs. And I feel also that if I don't have a break, if I've got a theme like I did on Friday, Michael, you may remember that the theme was 20 years of Britpop. You may remember that I just did that set instead of 2 hours. I did 2 hours of that straight and kept it all kind of relevant, and then at the end had a quick sip of I had a shandy, yeah, I was pushing the boat out, and then I did half an hour of some fun covers at the end, a bit of madness and stuff like that, just so everyone goes home happy, because Britpop's a themed thing. So the reason I didn't have a break is because I like people to stay, and I don't like to give them an opportunity to go. If they go, they go, but I feel if I take a break, they're going to say, "Come on, let's go. He's got half an hour before he's back on." And if I stay on, people might say, "Oh, he's still on. Let's have another drink first before we go." And before they know it, they're still there at 11:30. So I did 9 to 11:30 on Friday. Yeah, the Rookwood Village. It was a good little pub, actually. Good little venue. I always like the word venue. Nice little venue, and I enjoyed it. And it was a pleasure to meet you, Michael. Thank you for taking my card, and thank you for your question. I do appreciate that, mate. And I hope you liked what you heard. Well, you told me you did. So hopefully, once you sobered up a bit, on the Saturday morning. I hope you didn't suddenly realise that it wasn't as good as you thought it was when you were three sheets to the wind. But no, it was lovely to meet you and your wife, Michael. And hopefully I'll be back there soon. I haven't got any dates yet, but I do have your email, mate, and I will let you know when I'm back there. And hopefully I'll get there a little bit earlier and I'll have a beer with you. Thanks for your question, mate. I'll catch up with you soon. Innovation Studios is the perfect place for any aspiring singer-songwriter to take their journey to the next level. Whether that be starting at the basics or building a solid foundation on your first instrument, learning the best ways to perform your first open mic, or refining your current set with an experienced performer, or recording a polished album at the highest of standards. With soundproofed walls and perfect ambience and acoustics, our studio is also a great place for a budding producer to learn their craft, hone their skills and begin producing music. Check out what we have to offer throughout our website. Go to www.innovationstudios.com. Megan from Bradford, of all places. Hello, Megan in Bradford. Is a piano stroke keyboard important in a band? No, it isn't. But I suppose it is if it depends what you're playing. To go back a little bit for some of the people out there that may listen to it, I don't know. I was talking to my in-laws the other day and I said, I'm a bit of a freak in as much as I listen to all different styles of music and I have done over the years. You know, it's not necessarily because of what I do. It's because of who I am. I grew up listening to The Shadows and The Who and The Beatles and The Stones and The Kinks, but also The Shadows, but also traditional jazz, trad jazz, stuff like that, you know. And I always loved jazz bands that had a piano, real nice, proper piano. If you're playing stuff that needs a piano, i.e. you're playing Dire Straits, if you're doing Walk of Life, stuff like that, you need a piano. But if you're playing rock and roll, you don't. So the only thing I will say on a technical point, Megan, is that when you're recording, sometimes it's nice to just have a piano, even if it's just playing the chords, just in the background. Don't have it loud, but if you have, let's say, a song that's drums, bass, a couple of acoustic guitars or an electric guitar and an acoustic, a couple of vocals, you'll be amazed the difference that just playing a bit of keyboard in the background can make. It really does make a difference. And I've always been very surprised when I've listened back to go, that's hardly there. But the fact that it's hardly there means that it brings it out. So if you're recording something, it's nice to have a little bit of piano keyboard. You don't have to be brilliant. You know, we're not all Jerry Lee Lewis or Richard Clayderman. There is a name going back. Richard Clayderman. I couldn't think of any. Russ Conway. Bobby Crush. So a piano keyboard is important. There's nothing like a piano as well when it's played properly, you know, whether it's a beautiful piece of, a bit of classical music, stuff like that. But Chopin, you know. But no, a piano keyboard is not important, but it will always add something. It's just you don't want to have a keyboard player or a piano player who is going to sit there for 55 minutes in the first half and then go and play Walk of Life. You'd be better off having a keyboard on there and getting your guitar player to learn the intro to Walk of Life and walk over and play it. So, is a piano keyboard important? The answer, which is a bit of a cop-out, but it's true, depending on what you're playing. But certainly on a recording level, sometimes just having a keyboard in the background, even if it's just holding down the notes, it fills in every gap and makes things sound a little bit fuller. And you don't really notice. The best place to have it in the mix is at the point where you hardly know it's there, but if you drop it out, everything sounds empty. So you put it back in again and it fills everything out again. So sometimes it's important just to add a big ambience or a full sound behind everything and to fill out the sound. But no, it isn't important if you're playing two guitars, bass and drums, rock and roll all night. It's not that important. Alex says, hi, Marcus, I just wondered, how is the best way for us to hold auditions? The answer, Alex, is professionally, as professionally as you can be. If you have somebody coming in to audition for you, The best way is preparation. You give people a bit of a chance as well. What you don't want to do, and trust me, I know it sounds obvious, Alex, but then that's what I'm here for, is to basically point out the bleeding obvious. And if you have somebody that comes for an audition, the first thing is usually pick out about three songs. So you would give them three songs and the key of the song that you play it in, and then you just leave them with it. And you'd say, okay, and then you know when they walk through the door, they're the three songs that you're going to play. You've got a pre-planned idea of how you're going to do it. And whether they're singing or playing or whatever, they come in. So they've got the key of the song and they've got the three songs that you're going to play them in. It's up to them then to work out if they learn the song or not. Now, if you're in a band where you just might throw in an extra verse, an extra chorus or whatever, something like that, then, you know, you've got to make sure you've got a regimented way of playing those songs for the audition. I know that live, sometimes we'll look at each other and go, do another chorus, you know, they're loving it. But if you're going to audition somebody, bring somebody in and say, this is what we're, the three songs we're going to do. And the other thing is make them comfortable. You know, don't bring people in like you're the cock of the walk. You know, if somebody walks in, make them comfortable. Hello, mate, shake hands, find out a bit about them. You know, there's your microphone. Is there anything you need? Get them a cup of tea or a can of beer or whatever. Just make them feel comfortable. Make them feel part of the process. Because if everything goes to plan, they're going to be in the van with you. They're going to be on planes with you or you know, they're going to be at social events with you if everything works out okay. So you need to kind of make people feel at ease because they're going to be nervous. You're going to be a bit nervous. They're going to be nervous. And the best way to get a great performance out of them is to make them feel welcome and think, you know, these guys made me feel at home. If they're no good or if they don't want the job, then it's just the case of it just didn't work. Maybe something didn't gel. But if they walk in and think, well, it wasn't very welcoming, they just stood there and we didn't even have a plan. We would just go, do you know this one? I think as a musician at all levels, if you know the three songs you're going to play and the key you're going to play them in, even if you've got 2 days, you can put that work in. But you're going to be more nervous if you walk in somewhere and you don't know what to expect. And I think life is like that in general. Any new job, you walk in, you don't know what to expect. And in some jobs, that isn't possible that they can. But I think most interviews, if you get the job, there's usually, if somebody's good at man management, somebody can usually say, hi, Marcus, look, this is where we are. Let me show you where everything is. Maybe on the first morning. So your first morning isn't necessarily thrown straight in deep end on the tills or whatever it is you do. It would be a case of, hi, Marcus, look, let me show you where everything is. Don't worry about today. Come in on day one. Let me introduce you to the staff. Let me show you where everything is. Is there anything you need me to help you with? Do you have any questions? So, which brings me to the next question, which came from Don. And Don is in Bexley Heath, and he said, are people skills important in your job? And for my money, people skills are the most important part, especially of what I do. But I think in general, if you've got good people skills and you make people feel at ease and you can talk to them and you're approachable and you're friendly. And the reason I say this is because there were plenty of times in my younger days when I wasn't. These days, I like to walk into my show, particularly if it's a day centre or a care home sort of environment. I walk in, I'll chat to people. Hello, mate. All right. How are you? Hello, darling. All right. Because I just feel I break the ice. And by the time I go on, people feel they know me. So I think people skills are important. But the point I was making when you're holding auditions is, or when you start a new job or anything like that, if somebody is approachable and doesn't make you feel like a complete stranger from the moment you get there, it's why it's important if you're holding an audition that your people skills come into it. Maybe give them a call before the day. You know, if you've got 10 people auditioning, well, a 5-minute call is an hour of your time. Call every single one of them 5 minutes. Look, just wanted to run past. Is there anything you need for tomorrow? You're coming to audition for us tomorrow. Is there anything you need us to do? Or is there anything you need me to run through for you? Have you got the details? Do you know where they are? Because every single one of those people feels important, feels that they're welcomed. And people skills are important. As I said, that was the question. Are people skills important? Yes, Don from Bexley Heath, they are. Because you need to be able to talk to people without being the egotistical stage persona, which, as I said, I've been that when I was younger and I wish I'd have been nicer. But people skills are so important. And I like to make people feel that they're welcome to my gig. They can come and see it and I'll talk to them and I'll chat to them and they can ask me, you know, that question I get asked every single day. Excuse me, you don't mind me asking. How tall are you? I get that every day. 6'7" and a bit. But I like 6'8". I'm like most blokes. I like to add a bit on. I was thinking about fishing. I don't know what you were thinking about there. But yeah, so I like to add a bit on to my height. So I say 6'8", because I'm closer to 6'8" than I am to 6'6". So, yeah, I mean, people skills are important and auditions should be planned. You need people to feel welcomed. You need people to feel that they can approach you about anything and you need them to come in and be in a comfortable environment. If musically it doesn't gel, at least it isn't anything other than it didn't gel musically. You don't want anybody coming in and go, no, he was a right tosser on the phone. You know, he sounded right up himself. You know, yeah, we're all made a little bit like that at times in this business. I'll put my hands up and admit that I've been a bit like that. But I've learned that that isn't the way. So it's worth just bearing in mind. Thank you very much for your questions. Ever wanted to play guitar? 10-minute tutorials. Now on YouTube, Beginner's Guitar. Marcus takes you through the early stages, tuning, basic chords and strum patterns to start you on your journey. Further information, go to www.innovationstudios.com. Mary says, hi Marcus, have you ever cancelled a gig halfway through and what was the reason? Mary, yes, but never because I didn't feel well or anything like that, although I know sometimes that's unavoidable. I'll give people that. Usually it's been something that was beyond my control or this is my podcast and I like to be honest. One of the shows that we cancelled halfway through was because due to an agent that we were using, had a band booked somewhere and needed a show covering. And we couldn't, because we had a show earlier that day, we couldn't get to the one he needed covering for until probably half an hour after we'd have been due to go on. But the other one was a later start, if you can keep up with that. So what the agent did was move the live band to cover the show, and then had us as a duo with backing tracks go in to cover the live band. And we played a good set, but halfway through, the guy running the venue, who was a drummer and wanted to get up and drum with us, just said, we always have bands here. So he said, I don't think they're really something that they're really enjoying. It's a bit of a bitter pill, but if I'm honest, I think most people wouldn't have cared. I think the boxing was on and people were watching the boxing. But I felt a little bit like this guy was a drummer and wanted to get up and do a number with us. And because we didn't have a drum kit, he couldn't get up and do a number with us. So he, as my dad used to say, cop the arsehole a bit. So I think that's probably one of the reasons. The other reasons were if you're used to a live band and you want a live band and people turn up and they've got backing tracks, although the vocals are live and the guitar's alive and the energy is pretty good, if it isn't a live band and that's what you always have, then fair enough. You know, I was happy. He spoke to me. He was very polite about it. I was polite about it, although it hurts. And I just said, fine, you know. And he said, look, you've done half the show. Let me give you half the money, if that's all right. Cover your expenses. And whilst it was disappointing, I took it on the chin. It was a little bit beyond my control. The other one was that we had the sad unfortunate position of being set up next to one of those bloody environmental health volume controls, where the environmental health put them in to keep the volume levels down, and everybody, it cuts to power if you get too loud. Now, everybody who's been in the game for more than sort of 10 years will know about them. They'll also know, without saying anything, where you need to run an extension from in order that that will not cut the power. But I'm not actually allowed to tell you where it's from. But most musicians who have been around for a while will know that if you come across an environmental health level indicator that cuts the power, there are certain places in that venue you can run an extension from where the power is not allowed to be cut. So have a think about that without me actually telling you. And if you come at, but that doesn't mean that you need to be absolutely deafening. It just means it will save you the embarrassment of that cutting your level halfway through. All right. But you've got to be careful. You know, these places, they've part of their insurance is having the environmental health levels. And it's important that you stay within those. But sometimes, you know, if you plug in somewhere else, you can stay within those boundaries and know that the power isn't going to cut. It's up to you to be responsible and not just use plug from somewhere else and just crank it right up. You don't want that place to be closed down because you were too loud or because the music was too loud or because they got public, you know, public order offences and Christ knows what going on because you decided that you were going to plug in somewhere else and crank it right up. That isn't how it works. But when we had our show, and it was a wedding, somebody had booked wall to wall for a wedding. We walked in and the environmental health thing was up near the stage and I coughed, just went, and the thing went right to red. And I thought, we're in trouble here. And we went on and played half a song and then it cut the power. And we just literally just said to the best man, we can't do anything. We've got to pack up and go home. We can't play with that in that situation. Now, with hindsight, which is a wonderful thing, we know that we could have run an extension from somewhere else, from another socket that wasn't linked to that. And then we could have been loud enough without going over the top and know that we weren't going to have the power cut. So they are the two occasions that I can think of where I had to cancel a gig early or cancel a show halfway through. I've never had anything. I've had little things like towards the end of a show, somebody in the audience has had a funny turn or collapsed and we've just said thanks very much, or there's been a fight and we're on the last couple of songs and we just let the fade the music out and say thanks. But that's not cancelling it. That's just at the end of the night. I haven't really cancelled many shows anyway because I've always dragged myself there and done the show. I've said right in episode one that, you know, if you're in a big band and you're due to play Wembley Stadium and you don't feel well that afternoon, 80,000 people will go, well, it's annoying, but at least we'll get the tickets for the rescheduled show. But if I can't play the Batley Social Club and Fred and Marjorie can't get up and dance on a Saturday night, I get absolutely ostracised and I'm not invited back. So it's one of those really strange things. But now they're the only two occasions that I can think of off of the top of my head where that has happened. But it has happened and it wasn't fun. I didn't enjoy it. I felt a bit embarrassed, but I learned from it. And I would advise that those of you who do know where you can plug into to avoid the embarrassment of having the power cut halfway through a song, pass on that information, but don't, if you're learning that for the first time, don't tell the people where you learned it from. All right. I haven't said where you plug in. I've just said that there are options. If I get in trouble because of it, well, I get in trouble because of it. It means enough people are listening, right? I'll take that. Innovation Studios is the perfect place for any aspiring singer-songwriter to take their journey to the next level. Whether that be starting at the basics and building a solid foundation on your first instrument, learning the best ways to perform your first open mic, or refining your current set with an experienced performer, or recording a polished album at the highest of standards. With soundproofed walls and perfect ambience and acoustics, our studio is also a great place for a budding producer to learn their craft, hone their skills and begin producing music.
Check out what we have to offer throughout our website. Go to www.innovationstudios.com.
One last question from Malcolm. Hi, Marcus. When you're mixing and mastering, should every member of the band be there? Oh, God, Malcolm. It's very, very difficult to know the correct answer to that. Except if you have too many opinions, particularly if you have too many people in there that play different instruments, every single person will want to hear their instrument louder than the next one. And bass players will hear the bass louder than I can hear it. And I'll hear the guitars louder than the bass player can hear it. So everybody's ears, to a certain extent, are tuned to a different frequency. So it's important that you are all able to, if everybody's in there mixing through, and when you're in a band for the first time, part of the experience is everyone's in there for the mixing and mastering, but you have to remember that the ears that you use for mixing and mastering are different to the ones that you use for recording. That's not to say you take them off and put it back on again. You're not Mr. Potato Head. But if you are, you're a perfect kind of person for mixing. As a matter of fact, if we'd have had Mr. Potato Head mixing our albums, we probably would have had a much better sound than we ended up with. With everybody saying the drummer saying the drums are not loud enough, or the bass player saying the bass isn't loud enough, the singer saying the vocals not loud enough. Even the triangle player was popping his head in and going, can't hear it. So if you're all in there at the same time and listening to the mix, you have to remember that you're listening to it as a big blanket sound, not your sound. That's why sometimes when you're mixing it, we kind of used to just leave it to the producer, I think, or the engineer. We used to just say, look, you know what? We've recorded it. We're happy with what we've got. Can we leave it to you? And then we'll come in and just have a quick final listen through, because he isn't attached to any instrument. He's there to do a job. And he maybe, you know, it's not to say that isn't that, that's the way. There are probably bands out there that are all sitting on a mixing process and it's fine. But I know in some of the big bands, there's usually, if a member of the band is doing it, it's usually only one or two members of the band, maybe one with the engineer or the producer. So there was two of them doing it. If you have all of the band in there mixing, that can cause headaches, in my opinion. But of course, there are bands out there that have successfully made albums and all sat in on every single process and been part of every single process and successfully. So I'm not going to piddle on anybody's chips. I'm just going to say that you've got to find your own way. That's the thing to always remember about this. Although it's fun for me and I like taking these questions and I like to have fun with my answers and give you my honest opinion, it is only my opinion, you know, and it's only me just telling you what I've experienced and how I've found things, found ways. Doesn't mean I'm right. By any stretch of the imagination, but that's why it's important that everybody out there finds their own individuality, their own way of doing things, and the way that works best for them. If you mix the first album and it sounds like an absolute monster and you're all involved, then you're all involved the next time. It's as simple as that. I think a lot of the time, band members, they're not lazy, but there's always some that are lazier than others, and there's some that are hooked on being involved in mixing and mastering and everything like that. So let the ones that really want to do it, really care about, really absorb themselves in it, really, sometimes a songwriter, if you've got a chief songwriter, he owns the songs, if you like, let him mix it, because he's the one who's going to have it mixed the way he wants. But if everybody sits in on the mixing process, 9 times out of 10, you'll have the drummer saying he can't hear the drums, the bass player saying he can't hear the bass, and it can be chaos. But whatever it is, you know, I hope that you do find your way. Look, that's it for me, but I am back. I am going to be here every Friday at 5 o'clock for the next few weeks, I hope. It might not be every Friday, but you will get a little notification that it's coming up. Until I meet you again, which hopefully will be next week, I'm planning on it being that. thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for some of the questions that you sent me 6 months ago that I've used today in order to give you the proper answer. Thank you for your subscriptions. Thanks for your feedback and your support. Don't forget www.innovationstudios.com, which is the studio. We're here in Benfleet, just a little studio around the back of my house, but we can get some really great sounds and we can help you with your songs and stuff like that. Look, I'm out of here, but until I see you again soon, you take very good care. All right, this is Marcus signing off. Bye-bye for now.